Father, we thank you for the word today and for the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. We come together as the body of Christ asking you to illuminate our understanding and our minds. We want to hear from the Spirit today what the truth of the word of God is. Help us to improve our relationships. Help us to identify people whom we should and should not marry, Father. Help us to have the wisdom to walk in love one with another. In Jesus' name, all in agreement with that prayer say, amen. Well, we're going to pick back up with love and marriage. And today we're past the symptoms of love versus infatuation, past the feelings of love versus infatuation, past results of love versus infatuation. And we're going to look today at the effects of love versus infatuation. If you look there, the first point under infatuation, the first effect is, this is something you have to understand, that infatuation is being controlled by brain chemistry. Now, that's new to a lot of people because they figure, oh, romance and love, that's just a feeling. It's not a feeling. It's a result of a chemical thing that happens in your body. And we're going to talk about that in the next slide. I'm just going to refer to it in this slide. But the effects of love versus infatuation, you are actually controlled by brain chemistry. I'm going to prove that to you. Now, this is a danger with brain chemistry. When you're a Christian and we're to be led by the Spirit of God, not by our feelings, then it's a problem when feelings are the voice of the body, and you're led by your feelings, you're no longer led by your spirit, you're not led by your body. And we all know, if you've ever been what the world calls love, infatuation, there's a lot going on in the body. That girl makes your liver quiver. You saw him, and you saw those muscles and those pecs, and you just got flushed. Like they say in the 80s, you got a case of the vapors. Something on the inside of you just, whoa, that's the one right there. That's the one. This is God. Well, all that's a feeling. But we'll look at the chemical thing behind that and where it's coming from. But watch being led by the body. The children of God are led by the Spirit, it tells us in Romans. And even though our body does things God designed it to do, he didn't design us to go and let our body dictate what we should and should not do and who we should or should not do that with or when we should not do it. The word of God still prevails. The word of the Spirit still prevails. The spirit person is still to be in charge, because if you're led by the body, the Bible says as many as are carnally led or led by the body, they'll reap destruction. And many people have reaped destruction in their marriages, in their dating relationships. Things that could have worked out if they were handled properly didn't work out because they got the carriage out ahead of the horse. They got things out of God's divine order, which causes problems. The second point there of the effect of infatuation is loss of ability to make rational evaluations of what's true, what's valuable, and what's worthy. When people give in to infatuation and they don't control that and keep it led by the Spirit and they just go with the flow, they go in that feeling, you're going to have a misunderstanding and an inability to make rational decisions because you forget what's true. Your friends, your parents, everybody's telling you that young man is a fool. He's headed to a bad place. He is not, but I love him. You're infatuated because you lose weight. And this is what happens. We'll show chemically with the dopamine and different things to why that happens on the next slide. But you lose touch with reality. That chemical that's released when you sit and think about a person, you begin to get crazy and just, oh, wow, this person, and you'll do stuff you wouldn't do. You may have a whole list of things. You know, I'm going to be a virgin until I get married, and I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that with God, and I got this list of what a woman needs to be. And as soon as you meet that person, wow, you throw the whole list out. You did all that wonderful planning to make your life work out. Then you see that person, and you're like, wow. What makes you do that? What makes people get stupefied? What is it that makes people get like that? It's not love, although that's what the media tells us. That's not love. That's the infatuation out of control. And it can get a lot of people, and has gotten a lot of people in trouble with that. So you got the effects of infatuation is being controlled by brain chemistry and a loss of ability to make rational evaluations of what's true, what's valuable, what's really valuable. If this guy, you start dating him, and he's drawing you away from God and doing things that are ungodly, is your relationship with him really that valuable? When you're infatuated, you say, yeah, because he makes me feel wonderful. But the reality is, no, it's not. But that's what happens. You lose the ability to be rational if you don't hold yourself under certain mind. Look, I'm not going to go head over heels crazy about this girl. I've known her all of 2 hours. You come home from a date, tell her, call all your friends. Man, it's so awesome. This guy, this girl. And you just go on and on. They're like, how long? I just met him at the party last earlier tonight. You acting like you don't know that person. Oh, yeah, they're a wonderful gift from God. You don't know them at all. No, but I do. It was so special. It was the best moment I ever had in my whole life. I know we only spent a half hour, but it was a wonderful half hour. You don't know. That's crazy. And people do the same thing a month later. You still don't know them after a month. You're getting to know them, but you still don't know them. Infatuation will make you stupid and think you know people better than you know them and think you're aware and you're aware of what they may or may not do or who they really are. You cannot know that in that little amount of time. You haven't exchanged enough thoughts and ideals to see what makes them tick. But infatuation says, I don't care. I love them. No, you infatuate them. You're infatuated with them. You don't love them. But let's look at love. What would love do? Effects of love is a contentment, a stability, an intimacy. When people love each other, all that frenetic activity, all the need for excitement and all, everything's got to be going 100 miles an hour. We got to go to the ride the roller coaster. We got to do it. It's a thing like, you know what? I could just be with you and it's good. I don't have to impress you. You don't have to impress me. We're in love. I flash back so much to grandma and granddaddy, been married 54 or 60 years. You don't see grandma and granddaddy running around like teenagers. And you don't see them people running around crazy like that still married. Because that does not stay. Infatuation is one thing. Remember the line, dating is a roller coaster. Marriage is a bus ride. And anybody know there's a difference between a roller coaster and a bus ride? A minute and 57 seconds on a roller coaster is woo, wow, woo, this is great. I had such a great time. Oh, I'm glad I rolled with you. But both of you were the third party of another group. You don't even know them. But you had a great time for that minute and 57. If you want to get married after you get off a roller coaster, you don't know who that person is. And when you get on a bus ride of marriage, and like I said, year after year after year, and you find you don't even like this person. I don't even like them. I don't like what they stand for. I don't like how they think. I don't like the way they treat their parents. I like the way they treat me. I don't like them. Well, when you got off the roller coaster, everything was wonderful. That's why you shouldn't get married when you're on the roller coaster. Don't get married when you're infatuated. Wait till love settles in, because love's going to be a certain contentment. I don't have to be jealous. I don't have to be envious. I don't have to lock them up from the world. Why? Because I know them, and I can only trust someone I've taken time to know. I can't trust a stranger. Infatuation make you be dumb enough to do it, but love is a trust. Love is a contentment. Love is a stability. Love is an intimacy that only comes from time. Spending time with a person, getting to know them, and then, hey, they check out okay. And yeah, they check out their parents, the way they act, the way they behave, the way they treat people. Wow, their relationship with God. Oh, this guy really is not just, woo, wow, so wonderful. No, you took time to get to know the person. And they couldn't hide. You date them long enough, they couldn't hide. Now, let's look at what some things that happen when people are infatuated. The infatuated individual often makes hasty, rash decisions that they later regret. An infatuated person is going to make rash, quick decisions that I guarantee they later regret. Let's list a few. One would be getting too close too soon. Well, you know, I'm dating them and, you know, the guy, you know, we've been out once and he wants to take me to the Bahamas. We've been dating a month. We're going to the Bahamas. You don't know him, and you're going to another out of the country with this person? Are you crazy? Or he wants to take you to Inspiration Point to get you inspired. You barely know him. I mean, you met him at the party, and he and his friend are going to an after party. And your girlfriend said, we better go home. You don't know him like that. Girl, he real nice. We've been dancing all night long. And because he's cute or she's cute, and you go to the after party with them, you don't know him. And you know what you end up when you get too close too soon? You end up hurt. Because that person's not trustworthy. Tonight, they love you. 2 weeks later, another girl or another guy come along and they say, you know what? It's really not working out between us. You got too close too soon. You invested too much too quickly. Another thing that people infatuated often end up regretting is being alone with the stranger too soon, and you end up date raped. That doesn't happen by somebody you took time to get to know. That happened with somebody you thought you knew. You thought they respected you enough that when you said no, the no meant no. But you went out with them. They're nice. Everything's fun. You're on the roller coaster. It's all enjoyable. The chemicals are flowing. The dopamine, you feel good. You feel good. And, you know, just that, all that electric energy is going on. Everything's, and then infatuation makes you forget the value of things. Forget what's sensible. Forget being rational. And you go off with this person. And next thing you know, he is all over you. And you're saying, stop. And he's saying, I know you want it. And next thing you know, he takes it. And I guarantee you, when you let infatuation take you that far, that's something you regret. Something you regret. Another example of making hasty decisions as a result of being infatuated is having sex too soon. You regret being sexually used and abandoned when that person puts that notch on their belt and walk off and say, that was good. I thought we dated like 4 months, 5 months. I thought you really loved me. Well, you know, I did, but it's not working out. Oh, we've been having sex all this time, and you just walk away from me. I thought we had something special. That hurts. And you regret being so unwise to not value yourself. Hey, I am a prize. I don't just give this away. You got to earn it. You got to put a ring on it and walk down the aisle. That's how much I'm worth. If you ain't willing to do that for me, you're not worth it. But infatuation make you devalue yourself. It make you forget your real worth. And you'll lower your standard for somebody who's not committed to you. They're infatuated with you, you're infatuated with them, but they don't love you. You haven't dated long enough to see any love. You just like each other a whole lot. But liking each other a whole lot does not a good marriage make. Another thing that people regret when they're caught up in infatuation is getting married too soon. You regret not discovering the skeletons in their closet before you said, I do. Because stuff start coming out and behavior start coming out. I know this one girl, she was dating a guy, and then she was telling the story at the church, and she was saying, we knew her, so she was sharing it with us, but she said she told a pastor, and she said, you know, this guy's a real Christian guy, he's real nice. I remember them dating, it was all a whirlwind of craziness. And I think in a couple of months or something, they got married. It was God. God put us together. See, he's perfect. I'm perfect, so forth. And the pastor teaches better than that. That you should slow down. I mean, we all knew it. And we were, she's our friend. Like, you know, she'd be doing that. Then she got back from the honeymoon, and she's saying, I could not believe the things that came out of his mouth. You know, we were at the honeymoon, and he was cursing, and he was saying nasty stuff and wanted me to do nasty things. And that's like, well, you married a stranger. When you marry a stranger, you don't know what they're going to do. She wished to God she had slowed down, because the counsel that you give is, that's your husband now. And we can talk to him and try and get him really saved after all that pretending. But that's your husband. He not beating you or nothing. He just cursing at you when he make love to you. So you don't want to say get used to it, but that's your husband. You can't divorce him because he cursed at you. But that doesn't make you feel special, does it? You ain't feeling so infatuated no more. Hey, love may be blind, but marriage would knock your eyes wide open. I was blind, but now I see. All that infatuated nonsense goes away when you get married. And you need to see that person and what that relationship is with that person before you get into that. But if you're infatuated and you're running off and it's all so wonderful and you're like way overboard optimistic, you're going to get married too soon and you're going to regret it, because you're going to see skeletons in the closet you had time to see, but you weren't patient enough to see. Love is patient. That's what 1 Corinthians says. Love is patient. I just have to touch you now. I love you so much. I just have to get in your clothes. Love is patient. You're letting me know what you want with me. It's not love. It's lust. It's infatuation. If you love me, you'll wait for me. I don't value enough wait for you. You give it to me now, I'll go get another girl. Well, I'll see you later. You go get yourself another piece of garden equipment. Because that's not who I am. I am not so confused that I don't value myself. I am valuable, and I'm not going to do that. I want a man who values me too. Because remember, these men and women will let you know whether they value you or not. If you just keep your eyes open and not so stupefied with infatuation that you're looking and you're watching for the signs. You know, hey, you know, I understand you want me. I want you too. But let's wait until we're married. Well, I'm not going to wait. The last girl I was with didn't wait. Well, I'm not the last girl you're with, and you might notice you ain't with her no more. And I'm not trying to be the next ex-girl you used to be with. This is something different. This is something real. Well, I don't want to be with you then. Well, that's good, because I don't want to be with you. there was a movie I watched, Some Kind of Wonderful, and this girl wanted to be with the rich guy, and she, you know, she'd do anything. She pretty much sold her soul. She'd sleep with him just to be in the crowd. She was a poor girl, and she was at the school and all this, and she giving sex to him and all kinds of stuff just to stay in the group, just to stay accepted. But the guy controlled her, manipulated her, because he knew, you're out of the group without me. And then she learned by the end of the movie, after so much hurt and the guy turning his back on everything and treating her like dirt, but she put up with it just to be in the group, just to be accepted. And she learned at the end of the movie, and she told the other guy, the nice guy, she said, you know, who helped her enlighten her, she said, I'd rather be alone for the right reasons than with a boyfriend for the wrong reasons. And that's wisdom. But infatuation is, I just don't want to be alone. Oh, the other girl's got a boyfriend. Are you sure they got boyfriends you want? Just because somebody got somebody doesn't mean that somebody is somebody you should have. It's better to be alone for the right reasons than with somebody for wrong reasons. Because if you ask people who married wrongly or people who dated and been advantaged, would it have been better for you to have been alone? Hey, it'd be far better for me not to even hooked up with that person, not to even have known that person. It would have been far, far, far better. But don't you think it was worth it? No, it wasn't worth it. The hurt, the pain, sometimes the shame. It wasn't worth it. But infatuation will make you stupid. You end up doing things like that. You regret it. Now let's look specifically at the chemical effects. I promise we talk about that. On the next slide, you notice there's three chemicals involved in infatuation and one chemical involved in love. And these are the major ones. There's other chemicals also. And if you look there, oxytocin is known as the cuddle hormone. It's also miscalled the love molecule. If you research it, they call it love. That's not love. We learned that. They should be better calling it infatuation molecule, because when you want to cuddle with somebody, I don't mean you love them. Oxytocin gets released upon touch. You know, one of the first things people do internationally when they love each other is they touch. And a lot of these cultures, to keep people pure, and it's a sin to have sex before, they don't let the dating people touch. They may know something we don't know. When you're attracted to somebody in a sexual way or romantic way and you touch them, it releases oxytocin. That's why you like to touch. Why don't you get your hands off that girl? Why you always got your hands on him? We in love. No, you're touching. You want to touch. You want to feel. You want to be places you shouldn't be. It's natural for a man and woman to be attracted like that. Infatuation is not an evil thing, but if it's not controlled, it can lead to evil. It can lead to hurt. It's not. It's a godly thing. God put oxytocin there. The devil didn't open your brain to put oxytocin in it. Okay, oxytocin is part of it. It's part of the natural identification of a mate and the attraction process. But oxytocin is known as the cuddle hormone. It's released during touching. It increases a couple's desire to gaze. Because you notice sometimes people are dating and you see them. They just look at each other. What you looking at? I'm looking at you, baby. What you looking at? I'm looking at you, baby. You like, come on, y'all need to get over. That's just so, but you know what I mean? We used to say all goo-goo eyed at each other. How you doing? What you doing? How you doing? You know, all this kind of stuff. You know what I'm talking about. That's coming because, again, the oxytocin is flowing. The people are attracted to each other. There's nothing wrong with being attracted to the person. But you got to understand these things are chemical and you have to stay in spirit control. Because if you just let your body go with that flow, it'll rush you way too fast. Back then, if you running down and you walking out in the village somewhere and you meet somebody you like and they ain't worried about weddings or nothing, they just go ahead and make love, they're married, they stay together for life, that probably works real good if you're in the animal kingdom. But if this is not an animal kingdom and we be civilized human beings, you probably need to have some rules and regulations to that. Now they hit it in the head and just make love to her and say, you be mine, and that's it. Some guys I know would like that, but that's not the way we roll. So you have to understand that that desire is good, but you have to be spiritually led enough to control that, because as many as are led by the Spirit, they're the mature sons of God, it says in Romans. So even during the dating and courtship relationship, you still need to be led by God. So yes, I do want you. Yes, I do like touching you. You're beautiful. You're wonderful. But I respect you. My wife and I dated 5 years. Wasn't nobody doing nothing that was going to get nobody pregnant, because I wasn't going to be nobody's daddy and she didn't want to be nobody's mama. But that doesn't mean we didn't have oxytocin flowing. I liked her. I wanted her the whole bit. But we were raised in church, and it's like, you know, my mother was like, she had to talk, dad, and talk to you about this thing. You don't want to be in there, and you ain't trying to be nobody's baby's daddy or nothing like that. You're not ready for that. You're not prepared. And I had enough wisdom. Although I wanted to do it, I have enough wisdom that I'm not going to do anything to get this girl pregnant and be doing all this. And if you ain't doing no birth control, you need none of that. We ain't doing nothing that you're going to need. I ain't going to need none of that. Because I love you, I respect you, and I ain't trying to be nobody's daddy right now. You got to have enough wisdom and following God to overcome the natural desire and to balance it. It's good, but it must be balanced. What's the other one? Norepinephrine. Norepinephrine is where you get those sweaty palms and pounding heart. Oh, you know, like I get around and I feel my heart boom, 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 boom. She just, ooh, she makes my liver quiver, makes my heart beat. Oh, I'm around him and, ooh, I just get sweaty and just, I get the vapors. You know, and it is a good feeling. It's a high. We studied last week. It's a euphoric feeling. I'm in love. Everything is wonderful. Hey, so-and-so, it doesn't matter. I'm in love. It's such a great doped up feeling, but that's because it's dopamine. Norepinephrine causes sweaty palms, a pounding heart. Dopamine causes you to be impulsive. Shoot, let's do it. Yeah, let's do it. Or it's like, oh, I shouldn't do this. Oops, we did it again. Why do you, I mean, sometimes people look at themselves and say, how could I have been so stupid? When the drugs are worn off, how could I have done all I did when I was high like that? How could I, you know, you and people really are mad at themselves because they say, I know better. But you got to realize there's chemicals involved. Dopamine causes impulsive behavior that leads to rash and destructive decisions. So in infatuation, the chemical effects of oxytocin, the cuddle, the gaze, the goo-goo-eyed each other, the norepinephrine, don't think the sweaty palms and all that is love. That's not love. That's norepinephrine. That's norepinephrine. That's not love. So don't think, remember what I tell you about love. Love is not a feeling. Love is, who remembers? Love is commitment. You all need to get the first CD. Love is commitment. A guy or girl who walks off and leaves you alone, they do that because they weren't committed to you. They do not love you. You have not dated long enough that commitment has been established or love has been established, so they will leave if you need to get a double mastectomy in the first year of marriage. If you didn't date long enough, they don't love you. They will walk away if somebody prettier comes along. They'll leave when you start having the natural personality problems that everybody has, and they see that. They will walk away. They'll say, you don't make me feel like you used to make me feel, so I'm leaving you. They will abandon you when there's no love because there's no commitment. Dopamine again, people do crazy things. They do impulsive things. Let's run off to Vegas and get married. I thought we were just on vacation. We didn't come here to get married. Let's do it. Come on, why not? Let's do it. Okay. Get off the dope. Now, what does love do? This is interesting because from 18 months to about 4 years of you being with someone, we're talking a year and a half to 4 years, the hormone endorphin begins to release. And endorphin counteracts the other three. So after I've been with someone, I mean, the first couple of years of Ms. Cook, like every time I saw her, wow, oh man, wow. Woo, I'm a lucky man. Just, you know, just dumbfounded. But after a while, we dated 5 years, we got to the point where I love her, I like being with her, but why isn't it the same? Because we got to the point where that person doesn't trigger the craziness, they trigger something better. Now listen carefully. The endorphins, 18 months to 4 years into relationship, the brain acquires a tolerance to the infatuation stimulants in the relationship with that person. And then it starts to release endorphins. There's a familiarity. There's a comfort. There's a stableness. There's a calmness. There's an attachment, a contentment, and a comfort. That's when love is starting to happen. You don't have to put on the show anymore. You no longer have to do everything just right and keep up on your P's and Q's and act crazy because you know they like you. You don't have to put on all, he might see you without your face on. Because when it get long enough, I always say you better date a girl till you see what she really looks like. Because if you always see her with the makeup, don't get married. You might marry her and like say on a honeymoon, you'd be, what'd you do with my wife? Where's she at? Because you, some of the girls take the face off, they look like different people. You're like, who are you? This is an evil twin. Who is that? I thought I was getting Rachel. I married Leah. That's an evil twin. Who is that? You know? Some of y'all know that Bible story, Rachel and Leah. He got tricked. Some girls will trick you too. Endorphins in the chemical honeymoon of infatuation. But they leave in their wake and they produce a deep sense of attachment, contentment, and comfort. My wife and I, when we got married after 5 years of dating, it wasn't crazy anymore. It wasn't frenetic. It wasn't the roller coaster. We've been on the bus for a while. You know, we're ready to get married because you know what? I see you. I've seen you at good times. I've seen you at bad times. I've seen you under stress. I've talked to your family. I see how you treat them. I see how your friends treat you. I see how you treat your friends. I see that this relationship you have with God is real because I don't have to sustain it. You sustain it on your own. So I see that you're a genuine Christian. I've seen the way you react to people in the different situations in 5 years. You're really a nice person. People can play nice for a while, but 5 years of playing nice when you're seeing each other almost every day is hard to do. So I knew, or at least had the best idea you could have, not being married, who I was saying I do to when I stood before the pastor and said, do you take her? I wasn't like, I take the woman I think she is. When he said her, I knew what he was talking about. Wouldn't it be nice if you ladies married a man and you knew who you were marrying when he said, do you take John Smith here to be your lawfully wedded husband? You need to get to know who you're married to. You need to let the chemical drug wear off first and get to where there is some stability and some sensibility in your relationship. This is why it's important to date long enough for the chemical effects of infatuation to wear off. You don't meet somebody and run off in less than probably 18 months, 2 years. I normally tell people, you really shouldn't even be thinking about marriage if you're dating somebody in a close way for 2 years. Does that mean it's absolute for everybody? It's probably not. Some people need 8 years. Less than 2 years is really rolling the dice, though, trust me. But he's about to go to the military, and I like him. He like me. Won't get married. Tell me, you go to the military, and we'll talk, and I'll be here when you get back if this thing work out. I ain't rushing to marry you just because you're going to the military. You might get killed. I ain't rushing out to marry you. Know it. But I love him. Just because somebody's about to take off don't mean you love them. Don't let anybody rush you to marriage. Marriage is too serious. It's too intense to ever rush into it. This should not be taken lightly, this holy institution. And too many people are infatuating, rushing to it. Some people rush into it because they don't want you to find out who they really are. They can't keep the masquerade up. We need to get married right now. I think it's time. I say, why are you in such a hurry? Because I really love you. What do you mean really love me? I'm tired of not touching you. So you love you and you want to rush to marry me because you love you. Still telling me you don't love me. You still love is patient. You're telling me you're not loving toward me. You're telling me you're not patient. Where are you trying to get to? It's because I love you so much. I've already learned in church that ain't love. You don't love me so much. You love you so much. You're tired of waiting and now you want to just touch. Is that all you want to do is touch me? Whatever she got or whatever he got, it all goes south after a few years. It all gets soft and smushy. Not tight and firm. Gravity affects everybody. What goes up must come down. So don't get caught up on that. Don't get married and all that. That'll change. And all you will have left in your relationship is love if you ever had it. And this is what people don't understand. They get married on all that other stuff. And after a few years, 10 years, there's nothing left. And they didn't build love. So then their relationship is empty. And they say, I got the wrong one. I want to get divorced. You didn't have the wrong one. You are the wrong one. You don't know how to love. They don't know how to love. And I'm explaining all this is out there in the open. Infatuation is not love. Do not get married on infatuation. And do not expect that a bus ride feels like a roller coaster ride. And don't think a bus ride is as short as a roller coaster ride. That's why it's important when you get on the bus of marriage that you like who you're sitting with, because you can be sitting with them a long time. And you need to be able to enjoy the ride. But if you're sitting next to somebody you don't know and somebody you don't like, you're not going to enjoy your marriage. But you were in a hurry after the roller coaster thing is going to be like that. I remember my pastor said something. He said, there's two different things happening at a wedding, in the man's mind and the woman's mind. You're standing there, the couple is there, and you get them married, and that woman is thinking, this is the beginning of the rest of my life. It's going to be like this forever. It's so wonderful. She's got romantic thoughts of Ken and Barbie and everything she imagined it would be. And the guy's sitting there thinking, all right, next. Now I got to get my job and get my career going. I got to work on that. So they get married, and after a few months of marriage, a few years of marriage, she feels she's being ignored. She feels, you love your job more than you love me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And the thing is, there's two different things happening. Men are conquer-oriented. So they're like, I got that, and I'm going next thing. Now, he wants to go get the job and all that to take care of you and to be better. I'm married now. I got kids going to be coming. I got all this responsibility. I want to be able to take care of them. So he begins to focus on what a man should do, providing. He hasn't turned his back on you. He's just no longer, you're my everything. I can't live with. He's just not doing that anymore. He's flicking off infatuation and hopefully getting towards rationalization. Now, I have a wife. I've got somebody I provide for. That's a good thing. But girls get upset at me and they come in the office, Pastor, he don't love me. It's just like we're roommates. I swear you share the same room, you're our mate. So what's wrong with being a roommate? Well, what specifically is the problem? He doesn't love me. What is your definition of love? Let's take out 1 Corinthians 13 and let's take a look and see. Show me what he's not doing here, then we'll say he doesn't love you. But very often those things are being done. She's talking about he doesn't make me feel. That's what she's talking about when she doesn't love me, because somebody lied to her and told her your feelings is love. Your feelings are the voice of your body. Love comes from the spirit. That's going to be a spiritual thing. It's not going to be something you feel. There may be results and effects, but love is not the feeling. I love my wife, but sometimes I don't like her. If you get married 27 years, there's going to be some times you don't like people. I guarantee you there's some times she don't like me and probably more than times I don't like her. Because why? Life happens. Do we love each other now? Yeah. Do we like each other now? Yeah. But were there times when there's lots of bills and four kids and a lot of pressure and very little money and a lot to do and short hours in the day? There's times you just don't like her, you, or nobody. It ain't personal. You just don't like your life. Just don't like nobody. And there's going to be times in life when you go through that. It's called life. And life happens. And when life happens, is your marriage love? Is there love there? Because love covers a multitude of sins. Love upholds under all things without weakening. Love bears all, believes all, hopes all. It's only love that keeps you together that many years. And it's only love that's going to keep us together to 50 or 60 years of marriage. If we stop loving, we stop being together. But thank God we were taught that what we got married on was love. So when we hit the bumps, this too shall pass. This too shall pass. We've been there before. See, we're getting on the good side of it now. We've been through enough that we know, hey, you know, we don't have to be frenetic all the time and crazy and high energy. It's like, at the end of the day, I know you love me. At the end of the day, you know I love you. And no matter what goes on every day, I'm here for you. I'm on your side. I'm on your team. We have our disagreements. We have our little disputes. We're two different people. But we're two different people in love with each other. And love is the glue that keeps you together. So that when things are tough, you're still there. When things are wonderful, you're still there. And as you begin to relax and stop trying to change each other, things get wonderful much more often. Just love the person. Just accept them. Just forgive them. Just think the best. Hope the best. Believe the best. We're talking about love when you get married. We're not talking about crazy infatuation when you're getting started and you don't know that person that well, be giving them that kind of thing. That's why you don't love people right from the beginning. You can't, because you don't know them well enough. And knowing people is required before you can love them, because love requires trust, and you're a fool to trust people you don't know with the kind of stuff that love requires. That's just not wise, to trust somebody with that much of you whom you don't know. You're setting yourself up to be hurt. And infatuation ends up with a lot of people hurt. We looked at that, the effects. The effects of infatuation, the results of infatuation, you end up empty. You can get hurt real easily. Let's go on. Let's look at the bottom line of love and infatuation here. The bottom line of it all. Infatuation is delusional. Plain and simple. Infatuation is delusional. People who give in infatuation become deluded. What does that mean? A belief held with strong conviction without sufficient evidence to justify it, or despite superior evidence to the contrary. And everybody's telling you that person is a fool. Everybody's telling you they don't love you. That person doesn't care. Look at the way they treat you. But you don't understand. He's just misunderstood. You understand? She's really a good woman. She's out there. Look at her. She's half naked on the street. We had a friend Gerard and I, we had a friend, and we were going downtown with this girl, and this girl liked to dress provocative. And every time we went out, and she was there with us, almost a fight got to break out. Church girl. I don't like going out with this girl, Gerard. Every time we go out with her, we almost got to get in a fight because some guy's stepping up and acting crazy, but she out there looking like a piece of raw meat. Now, if you dating a girl and she's flirting with other guys, batting her eyes and all that, that's a dangerous woman. Any guys know what I'm talking about? She with you, but she keep doing stuff. Because some people think love is, will he fight for me? I won't fight for you over that situation. If a guy come and you like that, I say, you know what, you can have her. Because I'm tired of her. I'm tired of her. I want to date somebody that's got some self-respect. I'm dating somebody like that, I'd leave them alone real quick. First of all, that wouldn't even attract me. Because I like a person who cares enough about themselves that you show a guy that you got more than just what's between your legs. Show me something between your ears. I don't like a floozy, loose type of person. I'm not saying don't dress nice. I'm not saying don't dress fashionable. Don't get me wrong. But I'm saying don't dress cheap. Don't dress cheap. And a lot of the fashions today are very harsh. And you have to be careful that you don't go there. Like one person said, your dress so high it's a belt. Your top so low it's a belt. Girls just going out of the house wearing belts. Don't do that. Because what you're telling a guy, and I used to teach my daughter this, Deanna, I said, Deanna, what you're telling a guy when you do that is, this is all I have. Please tell me it's enough. This is all I have. Is I got these and I got that junk in the trunk and that's all I got. You want some of my junk? You know, I like a person, I like a woman who attracts me as one who's going somewhere. When I met my wife, she was in college, in nursing school, studying to be a nurse. She wasn't looking for a man, trying to find a man. She was doing what a young person should do to become a responsible adult. Get to where you can take care of yourself. I didn't want a woman who's sitting around waiting on a man to get her life going. She didn't want some guy who ain't even trying to get his life going. Look at where these people go to. Infatuation will blind you. That's why you got to be calm and you got to look and say, what do I really want? Where do I want to be 10 years from now? Is this the kind of person that's get me there? If they're not, that's not who you want if you still want to get there. And all the time, people follow what they call the heart. That's not following your heart, because the heart's your spirit. They follow the infatuation. They follow the feeling. And that gets them in trouble. Where's the delusion? Here's an example of delusion. Because so many people fall into this. He makes me feel great. Amazing. Just wonderful. She's perfect. She makes me feel incredible. Notice the phrase, make you feel. Unless somebody is hitting you or punching you or touching you or coming in contact with you, they don't make you feel anything. Now, that's hard for people to leave because they look at the person, they look at what they feel, and they mistakenly think the person made them feel that way. Well, how come when you look at that person over there that looked like a troll, they didn't make you feel that way? What's the difference between that one and that one? Why does that one make you feel that way, but that one doesn't make you feel that way? It's within you, how you feel. It's your perception. Maybe that one there looks like a troll is not attractive to you, so they don't make you feel. But did they make you feel? Because they didn't look like that on purpose. They didn't do anything to make you feel anything. It's within you what you feel. So when people start off that, you make me feel, I don't feel when I'm with you, it's always a lie. Here's the truth. The truth is the other person does not make you feel. Your feelings are a result from chemicals triggered in your brain by the fantastic, over-the-top, wonderful, positive thoughts you hold in your mind about that person. Love thinks no evil of another person. So love can keep good feelings with a person, but not when you sit around thinking of all their problems. And you start to say, I don't feel about you where I used to. You don't make me feel. They're not making you feel before, and they're not making you feel now. It's you how you feel about a person. And when you first met somebody, they were nice to you and you tired of being by yourself and somebody was nice and you go home thinking about them, you dream what's gonna be like when you get married, and oh, they were so handsome and she was so pretty, and you think about it, that's what's making you feel the way you feel about them, because those kind of thoughts produce the oxytocin, the dopamine, and the norepinephrine. You're self-medicating. When you sit around and delusionally think about how wonderful people are, whom you don't even know, you can start to feel stuff that's euphoric, that's really out of reality, because remember, you're delusional, because right now you got a belief held about that person, a strong conviction how wonderful they are, without sufficient evidence after a two-hour date. You don't have sufficient evidence there, any of that. But you think the best of them because, again, your feelings are a result from the chemicals triggered in your brain by the fantastic, over-the-top, wonderful, positive thoughts you hold in your mind about that person. That's why when you are married and you want to stay in love with that person and you want to have good feelings, think no evil about them. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love thinks no evil. Love does not consider an ill done to it. Love does not insist on its own rights. Love is gentle. Love is kind. If you maintain those kind of thoughts about that person, you will maintain a good feeling. But if you start to say, I told them not to do that and they did it again. I bet they spent all night dreaming of how to get up and make my day bad. That person's always trying to be wicked to me. I'm sorry I married them. My mother told me I shouldn't marry them. That's what people meditate by the time they come to my office complaining about their spouse. And I ask them, I say, well, you know, we know all they did. Now, you are you perfect? No, I'm not perfect. We'll name 10 things wrong with you. Oh, nothing comes to mind right now. Well, nothing comes to mind when you ain't studied it. You studied everything wrong. I know what you've been doing. No matter what you tell me, I know. I'm the pastor. This is your first time going through this. I have people going through my office like a train with this. This is old news to me. I know exactly what the devil's up to. He got one bag of tricks and just try and play them on everybody. If you sit around and meditate people's flaws and faults, but not yours, you'll forgive you, but you'll condemn them. Do you not see the word of God says every person's way seems right in their own mind, but there's a way that seems right to man, that the end thereof is destruction? You can destroy your marriage thinking you're right. Amen. Well, you know, they did and they did and they did. Well, you can't control them. Just pray for them. Well, they treat me wrong. The Bible said, pray for those despitefully use you. Have you prayed for them? I prayed they go to hell. That's why I prayed. No, that ain't what I'm talking about. That. Come on, sister, brother. That ain't what we're talking about. I prayed they get out of my life. That's not what we talk about either. Did you pray that they have a good day and that God will help them with the challenge that they have and that God will give them peace on the inside? Because I know they're not like that. God, they're good people, but sometimes pressure's on my husband and life is getting tough. And God, let him know I love him and I support him. God, my wife, she seems to be going through something. Lord, I pray that you, I don't know what it is. Let me pray in the Holy Ghost. But when she get up, but I don't know. God, let me just pray for her. The Bible said pray for those spiteful users, not complain about them and meditate their problems and their flaws. And then you start talking about, you don't make me feel the way you used to. They never made you feel. People can't make you feel unless physically hitting you. They don't make you feel. You interpret people's actions and you feel what you feel based on your interpretation. If you interpret that your husband had a hard day because he's normally not like this, and you say, honey, it seems like you had a hard day. I love you. Is there anything I can do? Instead of saying, you know what, I don't deserve this. I'm at home all day raising the kids, or vice versa. The husband come home acting all crazy and getting off on the wife. Well, maybe she had a hard day with your babies. Maybe she said, baby, can I do those dishes for you, baby? Tell you what, baby. Now, my case is like, baby, you ain't got to do them dishes. Bobby, Deanna, Chris, don't do them dishes. I ain't doing no dishes. I got four kids. That's where I do it. You need to go do that for your mama. Go out there and do that for your mama. But, daddy, why I got to do it? She your wife. Yeah, but I'm your daddy. Get out there and get, unless you're ready to move, get out there and do that for your mother. So I got my own methods of handling it. But the thing is the person may have a need. And see, it's you whether you look at Satan having taken your loved one captive and giving them a bad day, or whether you decide you're going to jump on bandwagon and attack them. That's your decision. You decide that. It's not what happened. It's not what's going on. It's your decision whether you're going to show them love like that or not. But the Bible tells us what love is and what would love do. Love would think no evil. Love would not condemn the person. Love would not sit around and meditate a person's flaws or evil points. Love would just love. It'll stay kind. Yeah, so they did come home and they were short with you and they cut you off. But love is kind. Love does not return railing for railing or evil for evil. Love believes the best and hopes the best. Because as soon as you start hoping the worst and believing the worst, you go down a chain and Satan feeds you more thoughts that's going to lead to more disharmony in your relationship. And it won't be them at all. The reason you're having a problem is because you don't know how to love. The reason they're having a problem is because they don't know how to love. And when you both go out in the world and you bring your problems home to the people who are most important to you, your spouse, your kids, your family, you go out in the world with all the nice courtesy and kindness and all that kind of stuff there, please and thank you, and you come on, hey, what you want? What you doing? What you fussing at me? Why you got me doing it? Well, you kids go sit down. You wasting your love out there for people in the world thinking no evil of them and being nice to them, being polite to them. And you come home making your home life hell when you're supposed to be get some rest. You say the best for your house. Don't be out there acting better with people out in the streets than you do with your own wife and husband. You make sure they get the best of you. You know why? Because when it comes down to the end of the day, it's the people you love who make you, who help your life be good or bad. Any relationship you have with them. And if you got a great relationship with your wife or your spouse, you can fight the devil all day long and come in and say, hey, break time. I'm here with people I love and people that love me. But what people do is they go out there and fake nice and walk in that, and they come home and bring all that evil. It's like, this is a place where I let my hair down. Keep your hair up and behave yourself, okay? I'm saying, keep your hair up, you know, keep it in a bun. Don't be acting crazy. Everybody ain't trying to live with crazy. But what is love? Love is that thing that controls behavior. Love is that thing that controls attitude. Because, you know, if you keep a good attitude and you keep good behavior, if you do well, the Bible says, shall it not be well with you? Doesn't say anything about the other person. Remember, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, the chapter of love. One of the greatest things about it, I said it the first week, is it has nothing to do with the other person. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8 describes love. The quintessential international universal definition says nothing about the other person. It doesn't say it's conditioned by the other person. That's why they call it unconditional love. So when somebody says, I love my spouse, and they come in with all these problems going on, in a way they're saying, I have a problem with loving my spouse. They make me feel I want to kill them. Why do you feel like you want to kill them? Why did you? They get on my last nerve. Why are they getting on your last nerve? Well, what they did. Well, suppose they don't know any better. Let me ask you a question. Are you able to love someone whom you can't control? Are you able to love somebody whom you can't control? We were all out of control with God, but yet while we were in our mire and our sins, he so loved us that he gave his only son to die. We're up there to crucifying Jesus, nailing him, and he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I love them. Look at the example. How are we going to be Christ-like and we're nothing like Christ? Love doesn't keep score of an evil done to it or a wrong done to it. Love doesn't insist on its own rights. I have a right for you. You're my wife and you're my husband. I got a right. And I would like to have that, but I love you anyway. Because my love is not conditioned on you loving me. My love is not conditioned on you behaving or you treating me nice or you making me feel. I love you because I decided to love you. And another thing I tell people, love is a decision. You can I don't love him anymore. I don't love her anymore. I say, every now and then I shock people in counseling. They say, I don't love him anymore. I say, well, why'd you make that decision? What? Why'd you decide to stop loving them? They made me. They made you stop loving them. Did they make you love you before? Well, no, I'm in control, but you're not in control now. It makes people think. And see, Satan and infatuation, you don't think. Because again, what they say about love? Infatuation is delusional. Love is rational. What does rational mean? Having or exercising reason, sound judgment, and good sense. So when you love somebody and you're not exercising sound reasoning, sound judgment, and good sense, you're lying. All that, woo, I love them, they're so wonderful, they're so perfect. That's not love. You need to date them long enough until you get down to where you can look and say, I don't like this about them, but it's not enough for me not to love them. I don't like this, I don't like that, I don't like that. That's why I asked the question, you know, give me 3 to 5 things you absolutely don't like about that person. Because when people start saying they don't, they're perfect, they're from God, you need to date longer. You really don't know that person. Because that's four, I can list 3 or 4 things I don't like about them. I don't even date them. So I know you are, since you intimate and know them real close, I know you ought to be named some. I can name some I barely know them. I don't like the way they look when they come to church. I don't like, you know, I can name some I don't like. You. Oh, ain't nothing. They just a gift from God. You really need to date longer and you need to date stronger. You need to pay attention. You need to be looking for what's wrong. And what I say, so you can see if that's who you want to marry or not. I know Pastor Butler used to tell us, he says, you should date with your checklist out. And you mark them whether that's acceptable or not acceptable. And if they get checked off, you write them a nice pretty pink slip and fire them right there. Well, that seems so mean. You better have some kind of scale of a person you're going to spend the rest of your life with. You better not be out there, let me see how I feel when I'm with them. Oh, I feel good with them, I'm going to marry them. Oh, I don't feel good with them, I'm not going to marry them. Oh, they got curly hair, I'm going to marry them. They're going to have pretty babies. Oh, I'm not going to marry them. You better have something rational. Otherwise, you're going to do stupid things. I want a man of God. I want a woman of God. I want a person to bring something to the table. I want a person that knows how to treat other people. I want a person. You should have a list of what you want and don't want, because people marrying folks that don't meet the list all the time because people don't have no list. It's like the person trying to go somewhere with no destination. I'm going to do big things in life. What do you want to do? I'm going to go places. Where are you going to go? I'm going to do that. If you don't know where you want to go, stop moving. You already there. You know where, you're going nowhere, and you already there. What kind of person you want to marry? Nice person. I have a question that I have people fill out, and nobody ever fills it out perfectly, not to this day yet. I don't think I would have filled it out perfectly because it's really challenging. And it asks basically the question, describe in the marriage what you need spiritually. Describe what you need financially. Describe what you need emotionally. And I think it's 4 or 5 things. And people come back, and I always tell them, don't write this generic stuff. Don't write down, I want a man that's nice, a woman that's nice, because that doesn't mean anything. It should be a list of things to do. So that way we can give this to this person and say, Gwendolyn, if you marry this guy, this list that we came up with is what you can expect from him. Is that enough for you? Or is that not enough? Because this is all he said he's giving right here. It shouldn't be everybody wants somebody that's nice. Somebody with 2 eyes, a nose, and a mouth. Everybody wants somebody with 2 eyes. You know, we talk. I want a list like, you start talking about nice, I want you to say, I want a man who, when he's with his mother and his father, and they may be sick or ill, that he goes to see him. I want a man that cares about people more than himself by, or demonstrated by, he helps the poor. You know, I want a man that wouldn't drive by every homeless person and never give any of them anything just because he hates all homeless people. You know, it's got to be something that if you give it to him and say, now she said that she'll marry you if you're going to do this. Are you going to do this? If it look and say, be nice, treat her well, be kind to others, like puppies, he's going to say, yeah, I like all that. But that's not going to tell you anything about how he's going to behave, because you hadn't told him anything, because they'll come back for marriage counseling after they have problems after 3 or 4 years and pull out the same list. And he doing all that and she doing all that from their opinion. From their opinion, they're doing all that. We don't want to know their opinion. You got to explain to them what nice means to you. Because his family nice meant this, her family nice meant that. You about to form one family and nice need to mean the same thing. Because people were sitting and argued, I'm doing exactly what they say, and don't realize they're 2 different definitions. You're speaking a different language when the words have different definitions. So we're going to talk about, I want a man that treats me well. Tell me what a man needs to do. I want a woman who makes me feel like a man. Well, first of all, can a woman make you feel like a man? And you don't want no woman to know how to make you feel like a man. I want a woman to know how to be a woman. That's all I needed to know, is how to be a woman. I don't need to know nothing about how to be a man. I was like, what kind of man want a woman to teach him how to be a man? Can you teach me how to be a man? A manly woman. That kind of want. If my woman don't know nothing about being a man, that's fine with me. If she knows about being a woman, because if she knows about being a woman, God's got that where that figures out everything a man need. Okay? I don't need her to know how to be a man. But specifics. if you don't know what you want, how can you get or know when you recognize it? If you don't know what you want, I'm talking specifically. How do you want a woman to treat you? What kind of woman do you want? When I said, Pastor Cook, you said you want a woman to bring something to the table. I want a woman to bring something to the table too. What kind of table you got? I know what I mean when I say it, but what do you mean when you say it? Well, you're a woman that just ain't a leech. Well, what kind of woman is a leech? What kind of woman isn't a leech? They ain't even thought about it. It's repeating what I said. I know what it meant when I said it. You need to figure out what does it mean to you. I did not want a woman who's sitting around waiting for a man to rescue her. I did not want a woman who wanted me to be Prince Charming because I ain't trying to be Prince Charming. I'm Robert Cook. I ain't trying to be Prince Charming. Not no fairy tales. I ain't trying to get into none of that because I ain't going to sweep you away and put you in a castle. We're going to go on a honeymoon, come back. I'm going to be, what's for dinner, baby? That's who I'm going to do. That's what Robert Cook does. Prince Charming might do something else. I don't have no butler, no maid and all that for you. You probably going to do the dishes and wash the clothes. I'm going to go to work and do that. That's what's going to happen. I'm not Prince Charming. So I'm talking about, are you whole enough that you aren't sitting around waiting to be rescued? Can you live without me? Because I don't want a woman that can't live without me. Oh, baby, I can't live without you. People think they want somebody that can't live without them. You don't want somebody that can't live without you because they might not be willing to live without you. And if I can't have you, can't nobody have you. That's crazy. That's scary. I can't be God for you. Can't be Jesus. If you put me on that kind of pedestal, guess what I'm going to promise you? I will fail you. And when I fail you, you're going to be hurt and disappointed and sorry you married me and not want to be with me. So don't put me on that pedestal. Oh, you everything to me. I ain't trying to be everything to you. I'm just trying to be a husband. I ain't trying to be everything. Let him be your everything. You ain't my everything. Oh, ain't you everything? No, ain't my everything. I could live without anybody. I love my wife with all my heart, but if she died, I might just get married again. If I died, I want her to get married again if she want to get married again. It said, to death do you part. We dead. We parted. Okay? I ain't said that. God said that. People think that's being mean or somehow that's not showing love to the person. I'm not infatuated, okay? I can still read the Bible and understand what it means. I wouldn't want her being a young wife. I'd die and she talk about some memory to me. Throw the ashes in the ocean. Don't visit the grave. Just go on with your life. I'll see you on the other side where we won't be married there either. We ain't going to be fighting about it. Now, which husband is she? If she married the first man and he died, and she married, whose wife is she? There ain't no giving in marriage in heaven, okay? I'm just staying rational and just staying with the word. The truth will make and keep you free. Lies get you all in emotional turmoil because they get caught up in all that. I'm not feeling any of this. It's the facts of what it is, and the feelings follow the decisions I make. I make a decision to love this woman, so I feel good about being married to her. I'm not sorry I married her. She's beautiful. She's wonderful. I love her. I feel good around her. I touch her and maybe every now and then still a little oxytocin flies. I love her. I ain't interested in touching no other woman. I don't want to touch no other woman. Respect the ring. Any kind of woman that won't respect the ring is a woman you do not want. Why would you want a covenant breaker? Why would you want any man that you can pull away from his wife? Why do people chase what they do not want? Infatuation. But he's so wonderful. If I was just married to him, my life would just work out so wonderful, would it? Because if you're married to him, you're still you. If you're married to her and she all that, but you still you and you still that. So if you're lacking and you're not whole, somebody else is not going to be there. Give up on that better half crap, because again, I told you, if two people get married and are each other's better half, and two people in a marital relationship, they are still a whole person short. My wife is her whole person. I'm my whole person. We're two people in the marriage. We're not two halves of a person. She is not my better half. I'm whole all by myself with Jesus. She's whole all by herself with Jesus. And because of the abundance of our wholeness, we can love each other and not draw on each other and suck off each other and just wear each other out. You got to make me feel, you got to do this for me. Make me feel like a man. Don't make me feel like a woman. I'll trade if you trade with me. No, you're whole. I'm whole. It's good. How was your day? Mine was wonderful. How was yours? What happened? Oh, it's good. We can enjoy it, be comfortable, be just have a great time. Just enjoy each other's wholeness. Instead of talking about, oh, my half is missing. Be my other half. You don't make me feel. If you've ever been married to needy people or ever dated needy people, they're needy because they're not whole. And if you marry needy people, you don't feel it. They just absorb you into their neediness. And eventually, you, when you're dating and you're infatuated, you think that's wonderful for them, you to be their everything and them to tell you they can't live without you. But that's not wonderful when you're married, because that's that same person saying, who are you talking to? Why were you hanging around the church? How come that one guy or girl keep coming up talking to you? What's going on? Because again, they own that other half of you in their mind, and they want to know what you're doing with it and where is it at. They're insecure. They're needy. That does not feel good, people. It feels good when you say, it doesn't matter who that person's with, because I trust them. I already don't trust the other person, but I trust them. I trust the one I know. I trust the one I love. That's where beauty's at. And that's a product of love. Now, next week, what we're going to do is we're going to go through, I didn't get to it today, but we're going to go through six songs, because we're going to answer the question, why are so many people deceived into thinking infatuation is love? So let's close in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for the word today and for the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for your people here today, Father. I thank you particularly for the young people, the young ladies, the young men who are unscarred by relationships. Some of them have just started. A few of them have had a few bumps, Father. I pray that the wisdom of God is in their hearts, Lord. I pray that they'll begin to think and reassess and reevaluate dating, Father, that they can do it in a way that's godly, that the young ladies will be able to have that wonderful marriage they desire so much, to give their love to one man and to be loved back, Father, that those men will have a wife that they can love and support, and she supports him, Father. I thank you that the beauty of marriage, which is the revelation of Christ in the church, the unity, the harmony that's been lost in so much of our society, is found again in the church, Father, as we line ourselves up with your will and with your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.